Let's pray. Lord, please open your word to us once again and open our hearts to you. Speak to us, touch us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? If your life is a mess, can God make it make sense again? If you are terribly in debt, can God help you dig out of your debt? If the whole world has gone mad, as it sometimes looks like it is, can God still protect over his people, watch over his people and protect them? If you are sick and dying, can he heal you? If a loved one has strayed far from the Lord, can the Lord still touch him? What do you think? Are some things too hard for the Lord? We are looking at Genesis again. We're in Genesis 18. And in our text today, this is the question that God basically asks Sarah. Is anything too hard for God? We pick up our story as the Lord and two angels are on their way to Sodom. When Abraham sees them, he urges them to stay so that he may serve them a meal, and they do stay, and he does. And then, as it says here in our text, 9 through 15, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Sarah and Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. As a matter of fact, he was about 100 at this time, or 99. At this time, he'd be 100 when Isaac was born. So they were both old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, "I know, but you did laugh." And of course, God did exactly what he said he would do. The next year, Sarah bore a son, Isaac, just as the Lord said that she would. Now, why did God say to Sarah in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Because she found it hard to believe that she, verse 11, that she who was past the childbearing age could bear a child. And that certainly sounds like an incontrovertible truth, doesn't it? Women who are past the age of childbearing do not bear children. Right? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. We sometimes look at people like Sarah and say, how could she not believe? But let's not be too hard on her. If you were in her situation, what would you think? You are past the age of bearing children. People who are past the age of bearing children do not bear children. So how could she bear children? It's an incontrovertible truth. And the truth be told, there's a little bit of Sarah in all of us, isn't there? And honestly, if you had heard some grandma in a nursing home say that she had conceived and was going to bear a son or a daughter, whatever the case might be, what would you think? You'd probably think that the beginning of dementia was setting in, right? And remember, this wasn't the first time that God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. At least as back as far as Genesis 12, God had promised to make of Abraham and Sarah a mighty nation. They would have descendants and they would become a mighty nation. At the time when he promised them that in Genesis 12, Abraham was 75. In our text today, as I said, he's 99. 24 years have passed. God promised they would have a son, and then 24 years pass. Sarah is now past the age of giving birth to a child. If you were in their situation, would your faith waver? Would you begin to think that maybe you didn't understand God correctly? Would you begin to doubt? I think doubting is a lot like water dripping on a rock. You know how it is, the water drips, and each drip doesn't do much to the rock, but over time, the water dripping on a rock can crack the rock. In the same way, our doubts, as the years pass, drip, 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 goes our doubt as we wait on the Lord, and more years pass, and our doubt keeps on dripping. Each little doubt isn't much in and of itself, but over the years, it can crack our faith, can't it? Especially when we become face-to-face with incontrovertible truths. People who are past the age of bearing children don't bear children. And we've had those years of waiting, drip, drip, drip. And so God asked Sarah in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you the same thing. Sometimes you come up to things that seem incontrovertible truths. There's no way I can get out of this mess. There's no way I'm going to survive. There's no way, you fill in the blank. Is anything too hard for the Lord to do in your life? Is there anything too hard for the Creator who has made all things? Is there anything too hard for Him? Forget the incontrovertible truths that we sometimes cling to. He is much greater than those truths. He can do anything He wants, whenever He wants to do it. Now, one more thing. When God asked Sarah in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? The word hard in other parts of the Old Testament is translated as marvelous or wonderful. So think about that for a moment. Is anything too hard, or is anything too marvelous or too wonderful for the Lord to do in your life? I don't know about you, but I find it relatively easy to believe that God can do anything in other people's lives. Yeah, but, you know, He won't do that in my life. I mean, He cares about you guys. He kind of tolerates me. You know how it goes. Isn't that how we sometimes think? God will do this hard thing, this marvelous thing in your life, but He would never do that in my life. Is anything too marvelous for the Lord to do in your life? Really? Let me tell you a story and bear with me. I've mentioned this story to one or two people. Those of you who I've told it before, just bear with me especially. I'm a putzy person from a putzy town in central Wisconsin. That's it. Putz Bob from Putz, Napoosa, Wisconsin. And you know my story. In 2010, I resigned from Bethesda Free Church in Cumberland, and I knew that God would quickly lead me to another church. Had no doubts about it at all. And then, of course, 10 years went by, and finally you guys called me to this church in to Big Patch. I was in contact with a number of churches during that time. Some of them, they were interested in me, and we weren't interested in them. Some we were interested in, but they weren't interested in me. And some were just never went very far at all. So a lot of doors closed. And then the years started to slip by. Drip, drip, drip. And I began to wonder, what kind of pastor was I? That churches weren't interested in me. Began to doubt myself and the Lord's work in my life. And I began to wonder, drip, drip, drip. I began to wonder, was I still called to be a pastor? Or was the Lord leading me somewhere else and I was just too dense to sense that he was doing that? And as the years went by, again, drip, drip, drip. A part of me, just a part of me, but a part of me felt abandoned by God. And drip, 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 there was another part of me that felt like I deserved to be abandoned by God. And then the strangest thing happened. I didn't notice it at first, so I'm not exactly sure where it began, but at some point all of a sudden it dawned on me, I did not get rained upon, period. What's with that? And like I said, I didn't notice at first, but eventually I did. I would be driving to work and it would be pouring rain, and then I'd get about 100 yards from work, maybe 200 yards, and the rain would stop. I'd be going to the store, the same thing. I'd be coming home, same thing. It'd be raining, and then I'd get to 100 yards from wherever I was going, and the rain would stop. And I would not get rained on. And it was really something. There was a couple times when I went to work, and again, pouring rain, and I get about 100 yards from work, and the rain stops. I go in, and I'm dry. And then once I get inside, it starts raining again. I'm not exaggerating. This really happened. People that came a minute or two before me got drenched. I came in, I was dry, and the people that came a minute or two after me got drenched. It got to the point where it didn't even surprise me anymore. I'd be driving somewhere and it's pouring rain, and I know it was going to stop before I got to wherever I was going, and it always did. In fact, one time when my crew and I were done for the day, but I still had some paperwork to do, it was pouring rain. And my crew, they didn't really grumble, but they had mentioned about, oh, it's raining, we're going to get soaked. And I told them, just wait 5 minutes, 5 minutes, and I'll be done, and then you won't get wet. They, of course, didn't want to wait because you're done with work, you want to get out of there. And so they left and they got drenched. I left and not a drop on me. And this went on, like I said, 3-4 years. Then finally one day I said to the Lord, Lord, you're so cool. Message received. I'm not abandoned. You can stop now if you want to. I get it. Next day I went to work and I got drenched. And that was just as cool as going 3 or 4 years without getting drenched. God does marvelous things in our life. Now that's perhaps a bit dramatic. And probably it was dramatic because God had to do something dramatic to get my attention. Duh. But he does marvelous things in our life, doesn't he? If you look back through your life, you could list all kinds of things that God marvelously did in your life. Does he do that because we're marvelous people? No, I'm just a putz. He does that because he's marvelous and he loves us. So is there anything too marvelous for God to do in your life? No way. No way. When we are faced with incontrovertible truths like the fact that women who are over the age of bearing children cannot bear children, we would do well to remember that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is. He caused a virgin to give birth. And when we are faced with feeling abandoned by God or neglected by him, or when we begin to think that he loves others but not us, we would do well to remember that nothing is too marvelous for God to do in our lives. Nothing. And when you stop and think about it, He's done something marvelous in all our lives. He's died for us. How marvelous is that? And God has adopted us as sons and daughters. How marvelous is that? And as it says in Zephaniah, like a proud parent, he sings over us in song. How marvelous is that? He walks with us every day. He talks with us every day. He stands guard over us when we sleep. How marvelous is that? He protects us from the things that go bump in the night and things that we don't even know he's protecting us from. How marvelous is that? God is good. Amen. Is anything too marvelous for God to do in your life? No way. He's already done tons of things that blows our mind when we think about it. So what should we do? Rejoice. Rejoice in his goodness. Lord, you are wonderful. Nothing is too hard for you to do. Nothing is too marvelous for you to do. You are amazing. And I thank you that when we have our times when we doubt, and we all have those times, then it is that you often do something very special. We don't notice it right away, but you often do something very special in our life to remind us that we are your beloved. And when you come and finally take us home to be with you, and we enter into paradise, the paradise you have prepared for us, then all we are going to say is, wow, wow, how marvelous, how wonderful, how we praise you, Lord, how we praise you. In your name, amen.